You know, the last few weeks, I believe God really has had messages that we all need to hear. And I think you have a message this morning that you need to hear. Because it is something that a little change in venue in a little bit of ways, because it's one of those uplifting, congratulatory things that we need to share. But it's also something that we need to hear because we're the church. I introduce to you our elders today. They don't run this church. This pastor does not run this church. Oh, I happen to be here, and you look to me as a shepherd. But the one that runs the church really, truly is the Lord of the church. And his name is Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to talk about the Lord of the church. And I can't think of a better passage of scripture that comes out of the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. And we're going to be turning there. I hope you're turning there. You haven't find yourself a Bible. It's not on the screen right now. But Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to be reading verses 4 through 8. But I'm not stopping there because there's so much to be said about Jesus Christ that is left out of our churches today. We need this reminder. We need to hear about the one who is the Lord of the church. That it cannot be a human endeavor. It has to be a divine endeavor. And he is already building his church. He's doing it. He's always done it this way. I do like what Ralph Waldo Emerson had to write about him when he made this statement. He says, the name of Jesus is not so much written as it is plowed into history. And it's exactly what it is. The very name of Christ is absolutely plowed into the history of mankind to the point of, look, just think about it. Look at the books that have been written. Listen to the songs. We sing them every Sunday morning. People all over the world sing those songs because they were dedicated to his name. Look at the buildings that have been built. To do what? To bring honor to him. Not to be honored to men. Oh, yeah, we build them for our comfort. We build them for our cheer. We do all those kind of things. But we do it to honor the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's what we have to do. Look at the people, you included, that have been dedicated unto him. It's not to Cornerstone Baptist Church. It's not to any church. It's not to any denomination. We are dedicated to him. Why? Because we want to follow him. We want to worship him because he is the only one that is worthy of our worship. Now, we know that's true for the church, but you realize that's true for a secular society today? They're still fascinated with Jesus. They may not have an answer. They may not know what they're looking at, but they still do that. I recall years ago, my goodness, probably 20 years ago by now, but Peter Jennings used to be one of the biggest newscasters ever. And Peter Jennings did a special on who? On Jesus. Well, the special went like this. He put out six of the most prominent men of history. Those that have impacted history more than anybody else. But who do you think was the best? It was Christ. It was Jesus Christ. He was the best. He was the greatest personality ever. And that includes some great people that Peter Jennings was talking about. Why? Because he's the greatest teacher ever. He was the greatest example ever. He was the greatest leader ever. He was the greatest influence ever. And he still is. He is all of those things. And I like one of the church signs that I saw put up one time. It says that his cradle rocked what? Rocked the world. That's who Jesus Christ is. One of the great theologian preachers, E. Stanley Jones, once made the statement about him. He said, call him a man, and you got to redefine what a man is. Call him God, and you got to redefine what God is. Because that's how important, and that's right. And so the book of the Revelation, the last book that was given to us, speaks of him. Because it's by him, and it's all about him. Revelation chapter 1, beginning verse number 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. I like that. Which is, which was, which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. And the first begotten of the dead. The prince and the king of the earth. And to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And hath made us kings and priests unto God. Are you a king and a priest? Well, according to this word, you are. He says, he hath made us kings and priests unto God, his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him shall be, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Why? Because verse 8 says, I am Alpha. I am Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty, Jesus Christ. The focus of everything that we have is about Jesus Christ. The book of the Revelation was written to those seven churches. Seven churches of Asia Minor, as we know, there were specific messages. But those specific messages were just a typifying all the churches that we know even in existence today. Yes, they were seven literal churches. We know that. You can read on, not now, but you can read on your own time. But they represent everybody. They represent every church today. And there's a small cameo of Jesus in every single one of it that tells us who he is. Can I tell you something who he is? He's Almighty God. That's who he is. He's the creator of the universe. He is the builder of the church, the head of that church. He's the savior of the world, and he's the soon coming king. That's who Jesus Christ is. Almighty God. That's the title that was given to him. Because even from the Old Testament, when they talked about God, it was transferred unto him. He says in chapter 2 of verse number 8, he is the first and the last. There's not going to be anybody else. Mankind can dream up anybody they want to. It doesn't change anything. Jesus Christ is the first and last. He is the Holy One. And he is the one that we serve because he's true. And he is exactly who he said he was. All those Old Testament titles, they all have that same thing, belonging to God. But if you read in Isaiah where we are in our Sunday school lessons, I am going ahead, John. It'll be okay. In the 44th chapter, it says, he is the first and the last. And it was given unto him. Absolute ruler of this universe. Why? Because he created it. He created everything that we know. You know, anthropologists, along with, you know, those big named people, all that like kind of good stuff. Archaeologists, they say that they have never seen a civilization ever in the history of mankind that did not worship. They said, well, what did they worship? Well, it doesn't talk all about that. But civilization is nowhere without some kind of a worship. Man is instinctively and incurably religious. Are they uniform in their religion? No, they're not. I mean, that's pretty obvious. We can't even get it together in the Protestant church to worship the same way. But even though there's no uniformity to that worship, of the 11 world major religions that are out there today, they're still confused about who God is. You know something? I'm not confused. Because I know exactly who God is. Well, why would they be that way? You ever think about that? Why would they be confused about it? Well, because the Bible says in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit. I mean, when you think about God as a spirit, you can't see a spirit. You can't touch a spirit. You can't take a picture of a spirit. You can't build a statue to a spirit because it's not there. You don't know what it is. So what did he do? He said, I got to make myself somebody that can see. I got to do something today. And that's exactly what Jesus did. I remember a little story about a little boy named Johnny. He was sitting in the classroom one day and he began to draw a picture. And the teacher came by and said, Johnny, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm drawing a picture of God. She goes, well, Johnny, nobody knows what God looks like. He said, well, they will when I get done. I love that part. Who is God in your eyes? Who's God in your heart? When you see out of your own heart who Jesus is, I'm sure that all of us may have something different to look at. I loved it when the kids were singing this morning. I loved the song Trust and Obey. I remember singing that probably 9 years old in the very first solo I ever did in a church. I did that in our little church back in Indiana. But I know who Jesus is, even though it says, who is the image of the invisible. That's how Paul described him, the image of the invisible God. Well, what is God like? Well, I can tell you what God's like. He's like Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ like? He's like God. Oh, I wonder why? Because he is God. He's simply who he said he was. And yes, the great author of the book of Hebrews, which I will not name this morning, well, maybe, he said that he's the express image of God. What does that mean? It means that he is the exact image of God. And if you're a good Texan, what do you say about that? Well, I'll say he's a spitting image of God. Well, come on, that's some vernacular every Texan ought to know about right there. Who does Jesus say he is? How does he identify himself? I like what it says in the third chapter, in the seventh verse of Revelation. He that is holy, he that is true. This is the description of the one we worship. This is the description of who God is. Holy is a name, but it's also a title of God. But that title from the Old Testament was given to Jesus. This is who Isaiah writes about. This is the one that's coming. This is the one that is. What? He says he's true. It means that he's real. And is not Jesus real? He's very real to me. He's authentic. And I like that part of it also. He's not a shadow of God. He's not a substitute of God. He's not any one of the... He is the very essence of Christianity. He is who we worship. He's God. He's only God. He wasn't sent from God. He wasn't part of God. He wasn't a representative of God. He is God. And we need to recognize that. We need to be reminded of that all the time. Who is Jesus Christ? Who did we come to serve? We didn't come to serve a church. We didn't come to serve each other. We didn't come to do any of those things. We came only to recognize and honor him. Who is he? Well, he was God with skin on. That's a good description, I think, of him. And his name is Jesus Christ. How do we have in our history a man trying to reach up to God? We built towers. We do all these things. And what did God say? I'll just come down. And he did. In the form of Jesus Christ, God came down to man. That's amazing. It's amazing because it is absolutely true. And I told you that secular people honor that. They recognize that. Some of the biggest newspapers that are no longer big newspapers anymore. Well, I don't know. Is Dallas Morning News still a pretty big deal? Anybody read the Dallas Morning News anymore? Look at the pictures. Can't read, but you look at pictures. I can tell you this, that I know, years ago, Tony Snow, who used to be one of Dallas Morning News' great reporters and authors, said, Christianity is the easiest of all religions to dismiss. You say, well, that's a terrible thing to say. Well, here's why he said it. Because it offers no middle ground. Either Jesus Christ is God or he's a sham. And I know that he is real. Why do I know that? Well, because I know who he is. I know that Jesus Christ is Almighty God. I know that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. He is absolutely the creator. Revelation 3:14 says, in the beginning of creation, God. And who was he talking about there? He was talking about Jesus Christ. He's the one whom creation took its beginning. You know, when I read that passage in verse number 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, prince." My friends, he wasn't created. He is the creator. He wasn't somebody that the Father dreamed up that he was the Son. Yes, he is the Son, but he's also Father. He's all those things in one right there. You guys ever study your lineage? Horse thieves? Oh, no, that's not your lineage. That's mine. You look at, we all are, something about us got to go back. You got to find out where to come from. You came from your mother. If there's any questions about that, ask one of these ladies. Don't ask Howie. Ask one of the women. But man has always been curious about his origins. And we're never satisfied and just to exist. We need to know something. Where did I come from? What am I doing? Well, I got a couple explanations for you this morning. They're simple explanations. You've heard them many times. We talk about them. We said we weren't born underneath a rock. We know about this kind of thing. We know that there are evolutionists out there. You're very familiar with evolution. I always thought I was, but I didn't realize that they said that matter is eternal, okay? And it's somewhere. It was somewhere in the universe. It's lifeless. And then all of a sudden, there was this spontaneous big bang. You ever heard that before? Oh, you guys have heard all that kind of stuff, right? Haven't you? And it was amazing. From lifeless became life. From the simple became the complex. Sounds to me like they spent too much time drinking something. That's been titled the Big Bang Theory. Of course, it's like all of evolution. It's unproven. It's nothing more than a theory, because I know who the creationist was. I know the guy that did the whole thing. And I know that all that evolution stuff, I'm not going to dismiss everything about that. Let me qualify some of that right there. I know that God is eternal. And I know that he created everything. Do you know that? I'm sorry, people. If science has twisted your brain, well, get this part down. God did it. Man can't comprehend it, but God, who can comprehend God? Because man certainly can't do it right there. He created everything. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, read Genesis 1:1. I mean, it starts right there. I'm not going to discount the possibility of evolution to some degree. I see the things have evolved. I've never seen a dog become a horse yet. Hey, I'm young. What can I say? Something could always happen. I mean, our latest elder's got a horse that's hanging out with a cow. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Now, the idea of elder might be going down the drain right here. Some people say, well, creation, that's just an assumption. It's an assumption that is taken by faith, because I take it by the Word of God, because the Word of God said it was that way. This is what it is. You know, I think if you really stop to think about it, are you going to choose what human speculation, or are you going to choose the Word of God? I think I'm going to err to the side of the Word of God, and it's not an error. Because this is what it says right here. And to me, revelation is a whole lot easier to accept than it is to accept something that's done by evolution. I mean, if you want to become an ape and became a person, well, I've met a few like that. Whatever I think about that. So if there was a big bang, I like what the preacher said. I know the big banger. That's exactly what I know about him. God created everything. Anything and everything. What you can see and what you cannot see. This is what God has done. I did a little science research on this deal right here. You can climb on a rocket with me. You don't even have to call Elon Musk to do it either. But you can get on my rocket. My rocket goes the speed of light. You ever been on a rocket that fast? No, I don't think anybody has. Do you know what the speed of light is? I had to write this down because I couldn't remember it. 186,282 miles per second. Second. You know what that is? A second? I mean, that's exactly what it takes right there. You can circle the earth seven times in 1 second. That's how fast the speed of light is right there. It's probably not as fast as my mom used to drive. She's probably not listening to me at all back there in the back. But it's pretty fast. If you blast off from this world, 2 seconds, you'd be past the moon. 2 seconds. How long would it take man to get to that part? You realize that at the speed of light, it would take 100,000 years to cross the Milky Way? 100,000 years. Yeah, that's a long way. You'd take a lot of Milky Way candy bars to get me that far. I like what Paul had to say in Colossians chapter 1. He said, when he talked about Jesus, he created all things in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. He had it all. Not only is he the creator, but he is the glue that holds everything together. And praise God, he's still holding us together. He's holding together everything. He is the adhesive. Could you imagine with the millions and millions of planets that are out in our solar system, who directs traffic? I'm sure you might never have thought about it that way. That's how simple my little brain works about those kind of things. But I love what Paul makes clear. By him, all things consist, meaning he holds it all together. He's Almighty God. He is the creator. And man needs to learn that. Man needs to understand that. Yeah, we thought we did great things. We found out what an atom was. Then we found out how to split that atom. Don't ask the people of Japan, Hiroshima, about how powerful an atom really is. Because on August the 6th, 1945, the U.S. dropped a bomb on that nation. Over 100,000 people lost their lives in that one bomb. At the very point of that bomb exploding, it went instantly to 6,000 degrees. You see, war is a terrible thing. Man had a concept. They created an atom bomb, and it destroyed everything that it touches. And today, that atom bomb is nothing compared to what is out there today. But that's how man does it. Aren't you glad that God holds things together? I praise him every day. Why? Because Jesus is that very factor. He is the creator. But he's not only that. He's the head of the church. I like that part. He's the absolute head of the church. What did he say in Revelation chapter 2? Look at verse number 1. You guys still got your Bibles open, don't you? If you don't, then shame on you. Oh, I said I wasn't going to scold anybody today. I lied. Okay. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Well, who are they? The seven stars. They're the pastors of those churches. The seven golden candlesticks. Who are they? They're the churches. But it's not about pastors. It's not about churches. It's about who holds them together. Who holds? That's a strong, strong word. It says, I am in complete control of all those things. Think about our nation today. Think about businesses. They say that every business, every great corporation, everything you ever see, well, it's usually the lengthened shadow of one person. That's kind of a norm for all those kind of things. Can I tell you this? Jesus got a long shadow. He's got a big shadow right there, everyone. The church is nothing more than that of Jesus Christ. His body. We are his hands. You understand that? You are the hands of Christ in this community. We just talked about that. TJ just brought that point up. Is that what we need to do in our own community? We are his feet. We are his eyes. We are his ears. We are his voice. And Jesus Christ is the new body that we need to incorporate that. Why? Because he lives in us. This is who he is. This is who we are to be. He is the head of the church. And all across the world today, there are those that are serving God as lay people, as deacons or elders. They're doing exactly what they're... Preachers. It's amazing. Preachers actually need to serve. And if they did what God said to do, if they listened to the one who is the head of the church, we would not have any strife. There wouldn't be any division. And you know, one day, it's coming. Which was, which is to come. That day is coming right there. I do like this about the Baptist church. I love the Baptist church. But I love it because one of the things that they always... one of their great hallmarks is the autonomy of individual churches. Do you know what that means? That means every church makes their own decisions. And I like the Methodist church where... a DS or a bishop tells you that, no, you're going to do this or this. Well, they got fed up with that and left the church. The whole church has left. That's the way it was. But the autonomy of the local church. Little history lesson for you, Terrence. 1840. You know what happened in 1840? 1840 was the first time that the authority was ever talked about given to the local church. When was 1840? A long time ago. Great answer. I'm glad we got studious people here. A little before the Civil War, you think? So how old are Baptists? How about 1848, the first convention? One of the thing that they said first before anything, they guaranteed the free to respond to Jesus Christ only. I like that. You didn't answer to a man. You answer to God and God alone. And what were they to answer? Whatever pleased Jesus. That's what the Baptists were to do. So, who is he? Well, he's, number one, he's got to be Almighty God. Number two, he is the creator of the universe. Number three, he's the head of the church. But then that gets me to number four, and it's a quick one. I know you're all panicking. How long is that going on? I only got a couple more, so here you go. He's the Savior of the world. The absolute Savior of the world. What did he say in verse number 5 there, the first chapter of the book of the Revelation? He makes it very clear, because he loved us. He loved us so much he gave himself for us. He died for our, just for each one of us. A man pointed out that it probably didn't cost God anything to create us or create this world. But it sure cost him a lot to save us. Think about it. What did it cost God to save you? It cost him his own son. That's what he did. That's why it's so important to understand that. We need to get that kind of a picture in our hearts and our minds. And we need it repeated over and over. Why is that? Because we forget. We're human. We forget what it costs God. And why did it do? Well, I think the clearest picture is first is that what it says right there. Because he loved us. He loved us so much he wanted to liberate us. He wanted to take us out of the clutches of sin. He wanted to turn it away. He wanted to wash us and purify us once again. He wanted to lift us up out of the muck and the mire of life. He wanted to make you a king and a priest. What a deal! I don't care what anybody says. That's a great deal right there. Paul said, let me put my two cents in on this. So he gave it to us in Colossians chapter 1. He says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, he reconciled all things to himself. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's incredibly great. You say, well, I didn't know I had a quarrel with God. Wake up. You got a quarrel with God, and it's going to be satisfied because of Jesus. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's what he was doing. And that's why he saved us. I have a hard time understanding why people can't get that. I really do. It's kind of hard to imagine how it is a Jewish carpenter would die on a rugged old Roman cross in the first century. How would that have any bearing on my life today? Because before the foundation of the world, he thought of me. That's why. That old rugged cross made it possible that you and myself considering that we could be reconciled back to a holy God. So you see, it's simple. It's not difficult. He's the Savior of the world. Almighty God, the Creator. Isn't that great? Are you not happy about that? I'm happy about that. I'm sorry. I'm really happy about that. But what makes me even happier and more excited about it, he is the coming King. He's coming back. He's going to make a return to us right now. He's coming again. I don't know when. Don't ask me. I'll leave that up to more studious minds like John and a few others. If John tells you he knows, then he doesn't know. I know some of the events that are going to take place. When do they take place? I don't know. But I do know this. He's coming back. He's coming again. He will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will split the eastern sky. He will be everything he said. Why do I know that? Because I read the book. If you read the book, you'll realize that. It came from that this very book. I just read it to you. It comes right out of Revelation. Its statement is so clear. That is the message of Revelation. Do you understand what it means to be revealed? That's what Revelation means. They revealed Jesus Christ. Why? Because he reigns. And he will reign in this world and sin will be destroyed. Satan will get his long-deserved kick in the tush. Am I allowed to say that? Oh, already said it. Because he's preeminent. He's preeminent in your life. And I think you need to be reminded of that. Every time we move and talk with people and live our lives out, we need to keep that right here, and especially right here. Christ is preeminent. He's preeminent in Revelation. He was preeminent in creation. He was preeminent in organization of a church. He was preeminent in our salvation. He was preeminent in his consummation of coming back into this world. That's why Jesus deserved first place. Not second place. Not when it's convenient. But every moment of every day in your heart, in your life, this is who Jesus is. And I like what another great preacher once wrote. He said, Lord, we care not who's second as long as you get to be first. And I have to agree with that. Almighty God, I love that part because that's who he is. Creator of the universe. Yes, definitely creator of the universe. Head of the church. Savior of the world. King of kings. Lord of lords. Heads up, people. I'm coming back. And he will. Who is the Lord of the church? His name is Jesus. Who is the Savior of your heart? His name is Jesus. And no matter what scientists say, no matter what anybody has to say about it today, it's still answer, the best answer, the only answer is Jesus. When in doubt, just bring up the name of Jesus. They can't handle it. I assure you. But can we? It should be the first name upon everybody's lips. Talking about my Savior, talking about my Almighty God, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray.